I want to say that we haven't we've had a long break. I haven't seen the minister, the deputy minister, in a long time. In this committee. I'm going to allow both of them to make their opinion. And then allow the team to put the decision with the presentation.
Chairperson, I won't have a long introductory session. I know that the report is quite long, so the presentation is also quite long, and I would like to get to the level where members are engaging us in response to those questions. So, Chairperson, that we know that we are not perfect and that there are shortcomings and weaknesses in what it is today, but I do think that we have to be encouraged by the fact that we are constant to be the Supreme Court. We have been engaging with the Auditor General. I wouldn't want to congratulate people for work which they should be doing, but our team has been working quite hard to ensure that we do have that Supreme Court. The meeting with the Auditor General was attended by the Deputy Minister and all the senior managers. There were certain areas which were highlighted by the Auditor General, and I would appreciate if DG would include those areas which were highlighted by the Auditor General. Chairperson, if the Deputy Minister or the Deputy Minister could be chair, I'm not chairing the meeting, to also make a few introductory remarks. But I think we should have a gentleman to just for the man getting their own everyday political speech in the chip.
Thank you, Chairperson, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members. Good morning, and Chairperson, I have been seeing you on TV, even though I have not seen you for a long time, but I have been following you on TV. It's good to be back, and I think the Minister is quite right, the presentations are long, and I think those are the areas we need to focus on, and taking into account that our department, like all other departments, is also affected by the issue of the haircuts. And those haircuts have serious implications for the implementation of our programs, particularly the electrification one. But those are some of the things we'll have to deal with. These must all come at a cost, and I think we all need to understand. Thank you.
Thank you very much. So we can get the presentation. Honorable Bandela and colleagues support and extend speaking. Thank you for the service.
Thank you.
let's get the presentation.
Petroleum and petroleum products regulation, had a budget of 69 million. They spent 68. This is more underspent. Electricity and Energy Program Management had a budget of 5.824 billion. It spent 5.820 billion. It's an unspent of 3.5 million. Nuclear Energy had 655 million. It's almost in all of that budget. Clean Energy has 400.9 million. They've spent 281.7 million, leaving an unspent balance of 190.1 million. The analysis of the unspent balances, a budget balance of 125 million, was unspent at year end, which equates to 1.7% of the adjusted allocation. Making up the balance of 125 million is compensation of employees of 210,000, goods and services of 2.2 million, transfer payments of 123 million, capital assets of 8,000, financial assets 1,000. An OO motivation was submitted to National Treasury for the total amount. The outcome is yet to be released by National Treasury. The reasons for the underspend, I will move on to goods and services. A total of 213 million was unspent on the procurement of various goods and services, resulting in a budget underspending of 2.2 million. The budget balance is mainly attributable to the delayed appointment of service providers and the recommencement of projects, resulting in the incomplete project at year end. And the reason for this is mainly due to two projects. It's the study and the global collection of energy footprint and energy savings potential. In heavy industry, the company has been liquidated and we were waiting the session of the contract to the University of Cape Town. This was a long process, however, still progressing for two. The second project that was effectively unspent money was an independent technical audit, measurement and verification of energy savings achieved from the implementation of municipal energy efficiency and demand side. Subsequent year end, there has been progress on both these projects. So that covers the unspent money in the services. Under transfers and subsidies, a total of 6.3 billion was dispersed to public entities, municipalities, and implementing agents during the year under review, resulting in budget underspending of 123 million. The underspending is mainly due to an amount of 10.4 million from earmarked funds for the transfer of IRET non-grid service providers that could not be transferred due to the late uptake of systems in one of the concession areas in KZN, which is mainly the Jazini local municipality, and the late receipt of claims from some service providers at year end. The request here as well has been submitted to Treasury for rollover. Continuing the transfers and subsidies, an amount of 112.5 million earmarked for the implementation of solar water heating program. After re-engineering of the program and having approval for the revised contracting model, the Appropriation Act was amended through the adjustments budgeting process, listing DOE as the implementing agent, replacing ESCOM. The procurement process and evaluation of this took longer than anticipated. The request was submitted to National Treasury for rollover. I will provide more details on the solar water heating on the next slide. This is the breakdown of the rollover that we submitted to National Treasury. The final appropriation was 7.267 billion. We actually spent 7.42 billion, a variance of 125 million. We have submitted a request for the total amount. In fact, at year end, there was a timing issue. We had submitted the rollover request in April. It was before the audit that commenced, and there wasn't an audit adjustment. We actually submitted a request to Treasury for 126 million. But it had to be adjusted down after the audit clearance. We have requested a rollover for 3.8 million for goods and services, transfers and subsidies of 122.9 million, and we had an audit adjustment of 1.2 million. The department submitted a request to National Treasury to roll over this funds to a value of 125.5 million. The IMED numbers, the chunk of 10.4 million, which I've mentioned, could not be dispersed due to the late receipt of invoices of service providers. The EEGSN solar water program transfer of 112 million could not be dispersed due to the time and the process to evaluate the bid under the new implementation model. the nature of evaluation, what is technical, complex, and time-consuming exercise. The British education process was concluded and approved by the Director General by year end. 23 compliant bidders were approved by the Director General, and these companies were duly informed of their status. There were 9 provisional appointment letters sent to preferred bidders. These were issued also before the end of March 2015, which resulted in commitment of funds for the program. These were actually awards that were made provisional awards which service providers, and so we could collect money. The compliant bidders received a letter informing them of their conditional award, pending the finalization of 2 specific conditions, that is the verification of the original equipment manufacturer, referred to as OEM status, and the submission of bid bonds to the value of the provisional award. These audits were conducted by the internal audit department of our department with line function to verify these 2 conditions. The 9 service providers cumulatively were provisionally awarded 125.6 million for the manufacture of 17,000 units. Subsequent to year end, 4 bidders successfully submitted their bid bonds to the value of 66 million. The bidders were met their suspense of conditions as stipulated. DOE has since concluded the process of signing service level agreements with the service provider. The unspent money on non-personnel account expenditure, which is 3.83 million, that was not paid to service providers due to the pending finalization of the procurement process for the measurement and verification of energy savings achieved by municipalities under the energy efficiency and demand side municipal grant. The outcome of the rollover process will take into account audit adjustment made and the results will be released shortly by an application. It is normally around early September. Chair, this is the transfers that the department makes. This is the annual review of it. We have a total of 6.7 billion to transfer to all entities and municipalities. We have transferred 6.6 billion. There was an unspent balance of 122.9 million. And the biggest contributors are the National Solar Water Heating Program and the non-grid, which I explained for. Finally, Chair, the management of the transfers, which is about 95% of our budget of the department, is in terms of the DORA and managed by the line function, that is mostly in island and clean energy, based on funding requests received from individual municipalities and subsequent project plans, which are included in the DORA implementation agreement. The finance branch manages the alignment of the DORA payment schedule with the department's drawing against the national revenue fund and the payment requirements. The finance branch also provides assistance to line function branches to redirect their funds from the non-performing municipalities and entities for the financial year under review and redirecting for the sale of the JPS. So that's I thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. We would like for you to reflect on the performance targets with your permission, Chair. Though it's just in the general process, but I'd like you to have a discussion on the performance targets for the program.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair.
Include the highlights of the
Chair. Now, let's proceed to do that.
Greetings to Honourable Minister, Deputy Minister, members of the committee, and my colleagues. Thank you to the school for having me on the financial performance of the department, the four courts on 2015 and 16 projects every year. I need to basically reflect on the different units that we have. Chapters in the first out to the court to achieve the military target and what will be reflected in our current performance plan. And in terms of policy and training and funds, we should include very much a number of policies that we needed to take through the process, including your PLC transition master plan, your amendment bills that needed to go to Parliament, the biofuel, petroleum products bill, and all those different legislations. We have set ourselves a target of 18 targets. Of those 18 targets, chapters were further achieved. 10 were partially achieved, 1 was not achieved. We can get into the narrative. We have an annex that we have attached in the presentation on the details for each and every one of those targets. For the petroleum and petroleum products, we have set ourselves 4 targets and achieved 4. Programs and projects, mostly the electrification program. We have set ourselves 3 targets, 9 were achieved, 4 were partly achieved, and 7 were not achieved. On the nuclear energy branch, we set ourselves 14 targets. We achieved 7, we partially achieved 2, and we could not achieve 5. On the clean energy side, we set ourselves 6 targets, we achieved 1, we partially achieved 2, and we could not achieve 3 of those targets. From corporate services, we set 6 targets. 1 was achieved, 2 partially achieved, and 3 were not achieved. Financial services, together with governance and compliance and the Office of the DG, which is the administration part of the department, we set ourselves 5 targets, and of those targets we achieved 4 of them, and partially achieved 1. For the whole chapter. I'm not sure whether you want us to go through the actual annexure, but it has been attached to see the details and what exactly was achieved and not achieved, and to give also the narrative around the comments that we have made. Why we could not achieve those, and considering chapters in that we are dealing with quarter 4 of the 2015-16 financial year, you will realize that as we go to the first quarter of the new financial year, you begin to track those and see the changes and improvements in some of those targets. Waited to go through various processes, and could not go through those processes at the last quarter of the previous financial year, but able to go through such processes and then achieve come the first quarter of the new financial year. We are to also present the president. And in terms of the performance highlights in general for the quarter of 2015-16, the municipalities electrification program, including rollovers, we speaking at a total of 93,000 call connections. That includes the ESCOM connection. On the petroleum side, a total of 1,956 site compliance inspections were conducted, for the year against the annual target of 1,500, basically giving us 475 inspections that we could have had for the fourth quarter. And that basically exceeded the target by 104. 486 fuel samples that needed to be done were collected and analyzed during the fourth quarter. We have set ourselves a plan for two campaigns, for awareness campaigns. We ended up doing five awareness campaigns during the fourth quarter. We did Gauteng, Mpumalanga, Northwest, and the Northern Cape. A total of 25,000 collections were achieved on the land grade sub-program or INF sub-program. And we have set also the target of 20,000 connections. The draft gas utilization master plan for it, including the implementation plan, was developed during that period, and the National Energy Regulator Amendment Bill was forwarded to Cabinet, came back with the conditions related to the proposed review board, and the treaty was included and ratified by Cabinet on the transition solution associated with power delivery for Grand Inga project. 10 nuclear compliance inspections were conducted, exceeding the target of 2, because we had set a target of 8, and the top national biogas strategy has been completed. However, the scope has been expanded to cover biomass as well. Having said that, Chairperson and honorable members, we are cognizant of our challenges that we experienced during the period, including the failure on our part to focus on the upgrading of media voltage lines, because the focus has been on the new media voltage lines that had to be constructed, and where we did quite well, but as we were moving ahead with the build program, we forego the maintenance side of it. So the upgrade is actually lagging behind on the medium voltage line. Challenges relating to remote areas on the for electrification program. The terrain issues around some of these areas are quite a challenge. Being able to get the material and deliver the material in some of these areas has been a challenge because they are quite remote. And that has slowed down the program to a certain extent. And I wouldn't want to really dwell much on our internal capacity issues related to our own internal audit and branch capacity for the verification of electrification project. Chairperson, that will sum up what specifically we did for quarter four, and the details for honorable members is attached from slide number 25 all the way through to see the details on each and every one of those targets. Honorable Minister, the Deputy Minister, Honorable Chair, and Members, DG. Thank you.
Thank you.
very much the department's understanding of what happened during the recent final strike. Not so much the strike by the workers, because it affects other people to report to on strike. I want to understand what is actually at hand. Just to get a sense, of course, of what happens using this situation so that we can prepare the future to respond to the situation. The issue is about workers going on strike, no problem. But it's the issues of how we manage the situation.
So it's just that I'm not going to respond to your question. I just wanted to come in before we continue the program to highlight the fact that neighbors have been I've been crisscrossing the country. All politicians have been crisscrossing the country. Whether in informal settlements, whether in informal settlements, and assessing the work on the ground. We have been assessing our service delivery strategies and our service delivery outcomes, and we know that wherever we've seen water, electricity, and sanitation have been at the forefront of what communities have been not only demanding but requesting, and have been at the center of numerous service delivery projects. So I think we have to report on how we are strengthening our interaction with communities, consultation and support banks, public participation, how we facilitate the public participation of members to engage more acutely with our community. We have limited all visits and trips across of the department head of SOE, so that not only look at the physical place that we're moving in, but so that we also look at the actual work in a room on the ground. We have to, at this stage, we can see a plan for the year ahead. As the deputy minister said, if we have taken a look at, then some of our key performance indicators and our targets will have to be reassessed or reviewed. We cannot have unrealistic targets which are not budgeted for, but which every time we come to the proposal committee, we are looking at targets which are not met. These kind of targets which are not met do not create very good perceptions of our ability to govern. It doesn't create very good perceptions of efficiency. And unfortunately, those perceptions become reality. These are the kinds of perceptions which influence certain agencies and which influence our sovereign credit rating. When we come to fiscal space that we're moving in, honorable members, I wish to request that we have more intensive scrutiny, that we have more intensive vigilance on what it is we are doing in the department, and we have sufficient accountability to the portfolio committee. Thank you, Chief.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. First quarter, 2016-17.
Thank you, Madam. With your permission, we'll follow the same notice of our presentation for the first quarter of this financial year, of the year 2016-17. Thank you.
Thank you, Chief. I'll present first quarter, that was from April to June 2016. The budget that has been allocated to the department is 7.5 million. For the first quarter, that's the 3 months that ended, we have 2.1 million. and it's broken down into conservation of employees of 74.3 million, goods and services of 161.2 million, transfer payments 1.946 billion, and payment of capital assets 1.1. The actual spend for 3 months ended is 2.034 billion. Compensation of employees had 37.7 million spent. It had an overspend of 3.4 million. Goods and services had 161.2 million to spend. It just spent 35.9 million with an underspend of 125.2 million. Transfer payments at 1.946 billion to spend. It has spent for 3 months ended 1.920 billion. Unspent is 26.7 million. Leaving a total unspent of 148.9 million for the first quarter end. Chair, I just want to point out that business services and transfer payments, with one of the major programs being solar water heating, there's a split within the budget. There's some funds allocated under goods and services, and these covers the social facilitation, the feasibility studies, and project management office. That budget sits under goods and services, so in my comments going forward, I will be mentioning that. Transfer payments covers the installation and the manufacture of solar water units, including training. The next slide, for the compensation of employees, which we've all sent for the quarter ended by 3.4 million, and it's mainly due to the number of contract positions carried additional to the establishment, some of which are unfunded fixed-term contracts. The department had a total of 73 contract positions at the end of June 2016. These include interns as well. Overtime payments, which contributed to 1.36 million to the shortfall during the first quarter of the financial year. Major contributors are overtime, paid for work under security services, communications, and petroleum licensing. Overtime relates to security and risk management services at the department's building, standby drivers, and transport arrangements for employees attending training, communication, and support staff at ministerial and departmental events. Overtime cost is not budgeted for, but is paid for savings. Also contributing is the impact of the budget reduction of 2 million implemented by National Treasury in the 2016-17 financial year. The item, compensation of employees, through the lovely judicial violence, however, for this financial year, that's 16-17, the budget under compensation of employees is specifically and exclusively appropriated, that is, changed to this budget, which will only be implemented by Act of Parliament. This item has been prioritized by DG and EXCO for discussion, and the way forward on how to deal with vacancies will also be discussed and related to the department. The DOE has also engaged National Treasury on this matter. Goods and services have an unpaid balance of 125.2 million, and the main contributors are consultants and business advisory services of 117.45 million, mostly attributable to the delays in finalizing contracts and appointment of service providers for the social facilitation and technical feasibility studies for the solar water heating program, but also contributing is the nuclear program, which contractors have been appointed, and payments will all be effective in quarter two. AEP and support outsourced services have an unspent balance of 5.58 million, and these are due to the measurement and verification of energy savings achieved by municipalities under the energy efficiency projects implemented by chosen municipalities, procurement processes under the final stage here. The nuclear renewable program, the planned disbursements could not take place as procurement processes for the appointment of a transaction advisor and the establishment of the project management office were still underway and at different stages of the procurement process. Payments for these services will commence in July this year. Continuing under prison services is travel and subsistence. I think Minister made mention of it, partly due to the cost-containing measures that the department has instituted and was a delayed payment for payment to diners, but which have been subsequently paid. Venues and facilities had a 994,000 unspent, and these were for planned workshops across the department which could not take place as planned. For trading leases, an unspent balance is for outstanding office accommodation. Lease for invoices have been not engaged. It's actually not from DMR, but it's from the EPW. Funding for action from the MI for the regional office accommodations. My apologies. Transfer payments, $26.72 million, mainly due to the National Federal Water Heating Program, which is $27.75 million of the unspent balance. Not spent due to the delays in finalizing contracts for training of installers of the solar water heater units, also due to the delays in processing of supplier information during the central database registration process. This is National Treasury's central database of suppliers. They did have some system glitches, which have been subsequently resolved. So the suppliers did have problems registering on that database. Membership fees of $2 million, over budget, attributable to the payment of international membership fees relating to the African Petroleum Producers Association. It was carried over for 2015-16. It was not requested as part of the rollover that was paid in. If we now look at the overview of the program, administration, a budget of $59.5 million, it spent $66.3 million, it's overspent by $6.8 million, and I will provide the details of overspending. Energy policy and planning, an EHA budget of $11.2 million, it spent $8.8 million, and a spend of $2.3 million. Petroleum and petroleum products regulation, and a budget for 3 months ended of $18.9 million. It has spent to date $16.8 million, or underspent of $2 million. Electricity and energy programs and projects management, it has a budget of $1.45 billion. It spent $1.460 billion. It is at a small overspend of $8.11 million. Nuclear energy has a budget of $452.2 million. It spent $403.4 million and is spent by $38.8 million. Clean energy, at a budget of $171.8 million, it has spent $38.5 million and is spent of $93.2 million. Program 1, if you look at the overspending of $6.8 million, it's broken down into compensation of employees, contributing $3.5 million, goods and services of $2.0 million, funds for loans and facilities of $1.69 million, and capital assets we have our own state. And the reason for these, compensation of employees is attributable to the number of fixed-term contract positions, candidates additional to the establishment, and the impact of the budget reductions in the 2015 and 16 HF budget process. Goods and services, $2.3 million overspending is due to advertising and related marketing related costs for ministerial and public participation events and implementing the department's communication and energy awareness campaign. Travel and subsistence due to the number of national and international commitments and engagements, both for the ministerial and departmental events. And there was an overspend also in communication due to an increased cost and the number of users qualifying for cellular and internet connection. Transfers and subsidies, $1.7 million over budget, due to a payment of $2.72 million for the international membership fees, which I've spoken about, and then contributed to the overhead. Energy policy and planning, both were underspent, the compensation for goods that was more underspent, and goods and services. The reason for the goods and services is travel subsistence, due to the deployment of site visits for monitoring and evaluation of the smart grid pilot program being implemented in the Ichigwini, Nelson Mandela, Indonesia, Golden Ndeki, Naledi, Mukali City, Nala, and Kabatindini municipalities at City Power. The site visits are undertaken monthly, but just the preparation for local government elections, municipal officials were not available. These site visits will be undertaken in the second quarter of the 2017 financial year. Consulting, business and advisory services, attributable to the delay in the commencement of projects which are at the initial stage of the Budget Education Committee process. This includes the energy footprint study and the study to determine the job creation potential for the different liquid fuel options. Venues and facilities were also underspent, and this was mainly due to the gap in the goal. The stakeholder engagements did not take place as planned. Program 3, Petroleum and Petroleum Product Regulation. The main understanding is a final report on the project to determine the operational expenses of the benchmark service station. The payment will always be processed in question. Venues and facilities, due to postponed stakeholder engagement with the petroleum industry stakeholders, and this has been also rescheduled to the second quarter of the financial year. Travel and subsistence, it was due to the fuel price awareness campaign that has been rescheduled to quarter two as well. Consulting, business and advisory services, due to the delay in disbursing payments under the petroleum pumping and testing project. However, the department has managed to align project deliverables with the cash flow of the department, so we will see some more this year. Program 4, electrification and energy program and project management. This branch is pretty much spent what it has been budgeted for, and the actual spend is available for understanding of 80 million. Program 5, nuclear energy. We have a budget of 398 million. Biggest underspend is in business service 58.1 million. And this is the nuclear goal program. The planned disbursements could not take place as the procurement process for the appointment of a transactional advisor and the establishment of the project management office was still underway. Payments will, however, commence in July. Program 6, Green Energy. For the 3 months ended, it had 171.8 million to spend, and it's broken down into compensation of 4.1 million, and it spent 3.8 million, that's a small underpaid. Goods and services at 66.9 million to spend, spent 1.6 million, and spent 65.2 million. Transfers and subsidies at 100.7 million, spent 72.9 million, and spent 26.7 million. The underspending of 93.27 million is a result of underspending in goods and services and in transfer payments effected by the implementation of the solar water heating program and the monitoring and evaluation of energy savings achieved by municipalities under the EDSM grant. The solar water heating program, which is under goods and services, 65.23 million was underspent. And due to the delays in finalizing the process of the social facilitation, technical feasibility studies, and the establishment of the project management office for this project, the procurement process for both the social facilitation and technical feasibility studies are at the start stage. The delays were in part due to the local elections and unavailability of stock at municipalities. Monitoring and evaluation of energy savings achieved by municipalities. This process has made some progress in quarter two, and seen at the final procurement stage. On the transfer of subsidies, there's also an unspent of 23.7 million for the solar water heating program related to the production of solar water heaters, not spent mainly due to the delays in receiving outstanding invoices from suppliers and the system-related issues due to the registration process stipulated by National Treasury. It is important to note that the number of suppliers that met the suspensive conditions, in particular the bid bond requirement, was less than 50% of the provisional award value. Purchase orders to the value of 65.8 million were issued, and payments of 56.5 million has been made in quarter one. Also contributing to the underspend is the delayed rollout of the training of the installers of the solar water heater unit. At the end of quarter one, approximately 9,000 solar water heater units have been manufactured and currently storage, and more systems will be delivered at the end of August and at the end of October. The department will fast check the procurement of the installation and related services over the next 4 months, and expenditure will increase. Subsidiary is the transfer payment schedule. For the full financial year, we have 6.8 billion to disperse. For the first quarter, that's the 3 months, we have 1.9 million to disperse. We did transfer out 1.92 billion, and an unspent balance of 26.7 million. And the biggest contributors are the EEDS, the solar water heater program of 27.7 million. It was offset by the small overspend of 2.7 million for membership fees. With that, Chief.
chapters, and after 10 chapters, we then look at the numbers, and for the first quarter of 2016-17, as part of the summary, on policy and planning, we set 10 targets for ourselves, of which four we partially achieved, and two were not achieved. And on the petroleum bite, we set ourselves four targets, three we achieved, and one partially achieved. On the electrification side, programs and projects, we have 50 targets, of which four were achieved, five partially achieved, with six not being achieved. Nuclear, 15 targets were set for the quarter, with eight targets achieved, two partially achieved, and five was achieved. Clean energy, we have 18 targets set for the quarter, seven were achieved, four were partially achieved, and two of those were not achieved. And corporate services, we had five targets set, with two achieved, five or three rather, partially achieved, and none was not achieved. And administratively, from the administration, which is your financial management, governance and compliance, and the office of the DG, you have four targets for the first quarter of 2016-17, with three that have been achieved, and one partially achieved, and none formally not achieved. And that gives us a total of 56 targets for quarter one of 2016-17, with 31 targets having been achieved, and 20 targets having been partially achieved, and 15 targets having not been achieved. And again, Jefferson, if we go into the narrative, honorable members will be able to pick up the details related to what exactly was not achieved and the narrative around that. And again, if you look at what we have presented for the fourth quarter, going into the first quarter, you will begin to pick up some of the changes. For example, you will pick up on the biofuel regulatory framework that we would have gone to cabinet on the 29th of June of 2016, and comments would have then been made there. And if you look at the fourth quarter of 2015-16, that target was not achieved. So the details are there, and in terms of the performance highlights for the quarter, there has been quite a big focus on energy efficiency, products and interventions, and we have prioritized some identified 26 municipalities. And in there, it will include your public buildings, your water waste treatment plants, your pump stations, and your public lighting. This also includes agreements that we have entered into with government departments, like your correctional service, to implement the program in that environment, considering the fact that they have some 243 correctional centers with quite a high bill, and we're trying to see how we can then implement an energy efficient strategy in that environment to try and impact and reduce the demand. 587 retail sites on the petroleum side conducted. The target we had for the quarter was 287. And the success there basically is very much attributed to our standard operating procedure, around inspection, and then on the license application, we have processed some 82% of what we had targeted, with 50% of that being BEE ownership. We are likely to achieve this target between April and May. The municipal electricity connections was sitting at 28,463 and on the municipal side, and 38,000 on the ESCOM side, and that gives us a total of 56,662. Insofar as the independent power producer program, between bid window 1 and bid window 3, bid window 1 is 100% complete construction. Bid window 2 is sitting at 84% complete, with bid window 3 sitting at 5%. And 46 ICPs have since reached the COD for all those bid windows. I can also add, Honorable Chairperson, that we just completed the co-IPP. We busy with the adjudication for the extended bid, and we are hoping that announcements around that will be made in due course. Insofar as the performance challenges at Chairperson, they are very much administrative challenges that really we can manage as the department, and then to minor petroleum licensing system challenges that we encountered during the quarter, of which the petroleum branch is working on that to resolve. Chairperson, the details around each and every one of the targets achieved, partially achieved and not achieved, again is attached, and the team is here and stands ready to engage on questions that might arise. Honorable Chairperson, I thank you.
Department but by now we should have a good appreciation of the department's capacity. I don't understand why we say tight to come, because we know our capability. So why do we do that? Because it gives quite a problematic picture of what we said, 10 times we could know before. So that issue about some targets setting, I something we've got to talk about. There's an interesting thing here about financial management services, corporate governance, and DG's office. So, two of them said one, I guess, and another one, two, I guess. So, both of mass, all three were mass. The DG's office said one target, partially mass. I want to know what targets were those, because it's for purpose of target setting. So what target for a period of a quarter would the DG's office set? And it's only one target. So it means an important target. So what was the target? So it was partially mass. So I think we must talk about that issue of performance of target setting. Problem. The next thing we need to have, just before you on the phone. The next thing is that last week we had a report by the LPC office. That in broad sense. You know, and I'm not discussing Eskom is kind of stuff, and how the Eskom is. Just these big windows, you see on page slide 76, on IPP, window 100%, page 2, 84%, page 3, 5% complete. 3-5% complete. We are on bid with 4, and are now working on program, what it is called expedited. So in window 3, it's only at 5%, and then we're at 4, and I want the expedited program.
Thank you, Chairperson. Sorry that my voice is not so good. I have some bronchitis. But I want to agree with you. Last year we were at the same juncture where we discussed the quarterly report and then the target that is set. Now it seems like you say you set your targets and according to the target you get the budget. And then you use 90% of your budget or 96% of your budget, but you only reach 49% of your targets. So that to me in school would be a fail, I think. It's not more than 50%. And I'm very glad that this year again, when agreeing us, they have now broken up again into partially achieved and achieved, because that's the way we are used to it. Last year they brought it was only not achieved and targets. And it was very difficult to then see. But it does seem that this department is not doing any better than the previous year's targets, it said. You know, if you, and although I see some of the targets have been adjusted downwards at the time, so we still don't reach it. And we still only reach the same percentage of it, and that can't be right. Maybe we should set us targets we can reach, and then, you know, go from there, and then ask if we reach it by 150%, maybe we can up it a little, you know, slowly. Because it's no use setting targets that nobody can reach. But it also doesn't bode well, you know, for the budget we ask and the targets not being reached. But maybe we can hear the minister's comment on it. The minister did say something about it, that, you know, we should be more critical about it. And then I want to talk about the lower spending and the not attaining of the targets in clean energy, which is very concerning, Minister. I mean, we as a committee, and you have committed us fully to the clean and the IPP projects, and in line with this, can the department commit and share with us what they will be doing to bring to finality the 39 projects that are now behind schedule, that are on the preferred bidder status, and that we must get into financial codes, including the signing of PPAs from Eskom, by Eskom, and to clarify to this committee, I know we had the IPP office here before, and you know, as the minister, you ultimately stay responsible for that part, where legal process has been followed, and now there's an unwillingness to sign off on the PPAs from Eskom side. It looks like there's a tug of war. Maybe you can tell us, you know, so we can understand it. This tug of war is created by Eskom, and it creates doubt in the minds of the investors, and we don't want that. We want clarity, and I know you have said to support it, and from your side, I don't think you can give more clarity on it, but what are you going to do to make sure that Eskom does comply and sign to a process that was legally, to me, must be legally binding, or maybe it's not. And you must tell us that, and we must get Eskom here and ask them why they are so unwilling to sign these things, and share with us the reasons for it. Are they bullied into it, and if they are bullied, you know, what are the reasons for that? And then, before, Mr. you have come to this committee and you have told us that, we will be very busy processing bills and all sorts of things, but we haven't received any of those. And I just want to remind you, you know, that we are halfway through our term, and we have 3 years left, and not a lot of time is left for that work. If you are planning to bring it, please bring it sooner rather than later. And we don't want to get blamed for not doing our work, you know, so we want to work. We can pay for it. And then, can the minister please update us on the controversial sale of our whole strategic crude oil? That also happened in the time of this quarterly report. It was sold at excellent bargain prices, and I mean, the minister came out with a statement to say that, you know, it was a stock rotation, but then it transpired that it was sold, you know, it was not replaced, and it was not, there was another type of a deal, but it doesn't hold water that is a stock rotation. Nobody in South Africa believes that if you sell 10 billion barrels of oil and you keep the money and you don't plow that money back into new stock, that would be a rotation. You know, we feel, lots of people feel that it is government trying to get space between them and the asset, and then later on it just disappears and nobody knows what's going on. It was also said that if we need oil in the emergency situation, everybody will be needing oil, and so would we. And we would be standing in a queue and we would not be able to get that oil. We are very concerned about that, and I think that this committee should be updated on that and what the plan is. You know, if not today, then later on, specifically on this issue. Chairperson, I did speak to you before, and I think we could spend a day on it. I think it's very important, because now what is the use of the strategic fuel fund now? They don't have any fuel to guard, you know, they sold all the assets. So we might as well close them down. And where is this 5 billion rand that we have received for this oil, and what are we going to do with it? I think those are important questions on everybody's mind in South Africa. And then, you know, there was also the issue which also happened, I think, in December last year, where we were going to buy this engine from Petronas. This engine group is 140 billion rand group. We spent a lot of years in negotiations. This does not come cheap. Costs were incurred. I mean, due diligence tests must have been done, guarantees must have been given, steel sweepers must have been paid, people must have been organizing this, they had to be paid for it, and a lot of money, to my knowledge, was lost on this. Can the minister maybe tell us how much money we did pay for that? And then, you know, we read in the paper that now we are putting in a bid for Chevron and Caltex. Didn't we learn the lessons then? What is the difference between the two deals? And really is this Chevron view at the moment? I think this is very important things. If we take a principal decision that we are now going to sell diesel and fuel in the courtyard as a government, I think I as a committee should have a say in that. And we should be taking a board on something like that. So I was surprised to read, to understand that, you know, just to come back to the Indian view, that it was such a fait accompli that we were going to buy it, that already put the turnover on our national budget, the 140 billion rand. And now that slowly is disappearing off the budget again. It is not very, it doesn't bode very well that we cannot, if we start deals and we take this long each time, not to complete them. And if it wasn't completed, why wasn't it completed? And if we didn't want to do it, why didn't we take the committee and everybody into their confidence on it? And then maybe as a last question, you know, can the minister update us on the nuclear new build program? Where is it? You know, a lot of vendor workshops were held on it. You know, what is the way forward? You know, every time we see you, you do give us some information on it, and we appreciate that. So maybe you can share with this committee where we are and what is the way forward on that space. Thank you very much.
For not meeting the criteria, I'm not convinced. They delay of appointing the service providers. So if you are setting up targets, you know that going to need service providers, you know going to need this, and that you know going to need this technocrat. But why do we always, I mean, it's not convincing. This is planning. The department is saying the planning. I want to know why do you delay appointing service providers, because it ends up delaying the services and the not meeting the target. My second question is on the IEP. When are we getting the presentation or the IEP? Because the finalization of CAM and IRP is dependent on the finalization of the IEP.
It's a complementary question to the second of the If, for instance, one target is set and is partially achieved, and the chairperson correctly asks what type of the target is, maybe it's not a number of targets set. It's a question of capacity, rate. You set up your target vis-à-vis the capacity to implement. So I think it's also very important also to check the resources, whether you have the resources that will make you to achieve it. So that is my question.
These other programs which were conducted in the details, that it was this program in the particular venue and so on and so forth. But other programs, venues are unknown, locations are unknown. What type of report is that? Or is there something that you want to tell us? The progress report is changing. They are positive by the beginning. Any environmental deeds was approved by cabinet. It has not been given to the committee. And ourselves, we are supposed to take photos from this level for it to be actually on the innovation because Parliament to approve it. New year compliance inspections were conducted. Committee had no information. Ground utilization master plan. The progress. We are not aware of it. Then I think this department must know and understand that there's a thin line between the committee and the cabinet. There's a thin line between the committee and the cabinet. You don't know what to the cabinet. You're not supposed to. Until you realize that, you'll know your priorities and your people. Now I want to know why you do not resist. Yes. You know, now you are waiting on implementation of the procurement processes on new year. And as the committee will not be able to receive the proper support on the new year, there is problem as well. But you have gone too far. public awareness campaign held by the department. On new occasion. And then it is referred to the Kairi Shaka Expo. Well, the expo is public awareness campaign. Was the expo a public campaign? The report says nothing about the demystification of nuclear, which we argued long ago to implement. We have not done anything. Because you implement those that are supposed to be decided. What have you done on the investigation of this? What have you done? Because whether we like it or not, nuclear will happen. This nuclear zone program is going to happen. Whether we like it or not, it will happen. What have you done? And so that it is the understanding is consistent. The report which was presented to the committee in April I have been in share on petroleum of 39.6 million. And 3 will still remain outstanding. Energy policy and payment, there's always been an understanding. Possibly an understanding. Nuclear energy is understanding. Clean energy and a consistent. There's understanding. Now, I'm sitting here. Many questions. But I want to say that when you set the government target, you are guided by input, process, output, program, outcome, and cooling process. Now, if you are unable to spend what your budget is, meaning the solar issue of efficiency and effectiveness, if you are unable to deliver, it means there are problems in your output. Probably the systems that you have are not efficient. Now, we can't be here to receive reports or understanding from the city. Can't be. Meaning that every recommendation and people that you make here, you listen here in this room that you make up. You leave those doors without all the inputs that you make to the commission. If you can come here today and tell us about understanding, maybe this community adopted the culture and the waste of time to some of us because we've got other responsibilities as well. You have understood, you had understanding on electrification, and now you have overspending of 811,000 on electrification. And the reason that you put a who is the voice to say that they may know that? They are confused. Now, we want everyone to comply. It is because of lack of capacity, you must tell us that it's lack of capacity. Don't tell us about delays, and delays, and delays, and delays. A delay can't cause an understanding of millions of projects. Can be. Logically, it can never happen. Now, we really need to know. There's a draft national strategy on biochemistry. It has not been presented to us in the community. So far, we are not entitled to input. Go forward with whatever input that we may have on the draft itself. And we want to expand to cover the elements of biomass. It's quite a good bring to the whole. There is nothing that you will achieve on policy without access to community. You can run to partners and do everything there, but for you to get total approval and everything else, you are stuck to pass to the community. Until you acknowledge that you will do things properly. You can say that it has been sent to parliament and so on. Who is parliament? You think Parliament is the sixth? It's the chair that will present that thing first, your team, not the speaker. And before the chair could present that thing, ourselves as a committee must agree. And if we don't agree as a committee, that will never be processed by Parliament. That's the basic knowledge that you should understand about the processes of the bills and everything else that has to be approved for you to be able to implement. We welcome you on the report of the achieved presentation to the cabinet and so forth. But if I were you, I would put partially achieved. A bill that is approved by cabinet is partially achieved as long as parliament has not approved that thing, it's not achieved. Achieved. See? Now you must understand the processes of government so that you are efficient yourself. So, Chair, the report looks rosy and paper because it's a sense again white and gold in colors. But when you sit and read the report and try to make sense with the report, if there are errors. There are errors and we are the limited answers that all the awards it can be that since you arrived here in 2014, you have understanding consistently on the programs of the department, certain programs of the department in energy is under the control fault when the budget was less. Every time you said on clean energy, you can't have any money. Do something. Meaning. And now we are taking us the reason this issue of other spending on clean energy. I must say that story at school. I'm just letting you say that we be taken very well by this department because we are the last people ourselves. So those are the issues, Chair, which I think, you know, this understanding on energy policy and planning, it means that we'll never have the energy master plan. Never, ever. We'll never. Because there's no report on energy master plan. Since we said it must be a dialogue, 20 years ago, it has not been done, and there's understanding on energy policy and planning. Because if you are unable to do that, there are consultants ready to assist you.
Kameni. See, the minister is bringing a committee or advisory council. There's a pool of experts there on image. Not just ordinary people like myself. They would expect those people. Can add them to assist you. With all the money that you've understood, consultants are very informed today. But you haven't done anything. And I want a detailed explanation that will make sense for the rollover. You can't roll over and roll over and roll over. If a boy will go to town, roll over into a sea or a very big belly and drown. So I really need a check through you a detailed explanation on the rollover, how it came about, and why.
No, just before you. I'm sure you have no set of questions. I unfortunately haven't, so I want to put that right out to say. I'm sure the minister and the department will respond to the question. I just want to comment on the fundamental question raised by now on the effectiveness and efficiency of the state. And that's the difference of the two arms, the interface between the executive and the legislature. You know, we spend a lot of time here in Cape Town, in this legislature. A lot of time and a lot of money. I traveled once during the election campaign, and the flights were empty, half full, all the coming through. And then I realized, oh yeah, it's the first parliament that makes missing flights to full between Cape Town and Johannesburg, only other destinations as well. So it will spend a lot of time, and this is not about relocation honorable yet. The point I'm trying to make is we spend a lot of time in this institution. But what really do we get for this money spending here in this institution? Insofar as making sure that the executive can perform it, and the entity can perform their functions. Because, you see, unless you address this issue about having parliament that's a team, it's going to be a hobby that the presidential officials that travel between Pretoria and here, one of those things, prepare reports, or claim FMC. Come here, sleep over in Cape Town, present records, as Honorable Mahandela said, when they leave here, they have forgotten what these legislators have said and the recommendations they've made. So we are just the buyer of the new platform, one of those things that have got to be done. So tick the box by traveling to Cape Town. That thing, and I'm not just referring to our committee, that's about the effectiveness of Parliament as an institution that plays an oversight role. So when we keep, and then we can see the reports, not just in our committee, in various other departments, a lot of things that Parliament keeps saying, please do this, nothing happens. But it appears Parliament has no capacity to get things done, like, or if things are not done, that there will be consequences. If we don't address that thing on our matter, we're going to get this report, and then the officials are going to get used to it most. That nothing will happen, it's fine, we prepare a nice report, and then we go back there and go back there again, so nothing will happen. They'll get used to that. So that issue has got to be addressed. I think we must find a way, and I suppose that the issue about the role of Parliament in relation to budget, and the setting up of the budget office, was one of the initiatives to try and address that issue. It's an issue that I think we've got to attend to. Otherwise, it's very painful. You see, when you come, you sit here for a year, you go through recommendations, you go to another year, you go through the same recommendations, the same things repeat themselves. So Parliament is helpless. So what's the point of sitting here and receiving reports? I personally have expressed it before. I have deep problems in that. So we want to get reports. Where there are genuine difficulties, we must provide support. Mm. We must give capacity. But where people can't do what they're supposed to do, there must be consequences. So we need some concept center again, achieve 5. So what are the consequences for not meeting the 5-quarter target? We're not hearing anything about it. And the subject is important. So I'm with you, Honourable Chair. I think that we have touched an issue that I've always had deep problems with since I came here. That, you know, we should just receive reports, year in, year out, and the departments come here, entities come here, they go home. So we say that soon as we've done the petrol yesterday. A year later, 14 billion is gone, nothing has happened. So we see it. So, why? Why are you spending so much time in this institution? So much traveling? So I'm with you there, Honorable Member. I think we must attend to this thing. This is a fundamental problem. Because unless you know we have come here just because you want to be check collectors at the end of the month. So, but if we're not there, then we must see the last for what we do here. Sorry for interruption.
Thank you, Chair. Honourable Minister, Chair, on what you saw in the department, I can forget Honourable Deputy Minister, the public army. From what was just said now with Chair, I can't add anything on that, but this report says a lot just about saying nothing at all. But just to address a few things, the Corporation of Employees. Seems like me and Maria got the same problem. My voice is older.
Yeah, okay.
More hard work in terms of that. The compensation of employees is 300 million rand, really. Just an idea, the far compliments of Eskom. The Eskom directors gave themselves 18.3 million rand bonuses. The reality of availability factor was 67%. Really, that sucks. And I'm really thinking that that's why the members are upset about all this. Running down this nuclear 655 million. We haven't even started the nuclear program yet, and I've heard, and it doesn't also, the report is not explained that it's clean energy, cornered in this. Underspent a lot of money on clean energy. And Mr. Brightman Murphy, the CEO, has become very aggressive, I would maybe use the word, in fighting this dominant supplies case. But still, the ongoing distrust of Eskom's operational turnaround and the sustainability of the energy availability that I just mentioned and the recovery. And they claim very high levels of plant availability, very high production levels, so high that they now say that ITPs are not required. And just in mentioning further what the chair and the member next to me was saying, I think really, and I've mentioned it before in this committee, that we really have a problem. We've got a very competent minister, but Eskom does not report, Eskom reports to public enterprises, Mr. Brown. And I see that as a very, very serious problem. How can we then discuss the issues and it's not even discussed, reported to our minister?
our minister committed herself for the ICT program, and according to our constitution, that should be then completely into this program and bound to follow this. If on the board to Minister Ingram. One of the problems. Quality gap around the IRP, the integrated resource plan, are out of date, and this industry, ESCOM, we need more clear direction and guidance from ESCOM. I've mentioned that ESCOM, when this financial term started, EIF was at 67%, and it just admittedly went up to 75% at the end of the financial term, even higher now. The country, most of the things were mentioned already. I'm just mentioning a few things, and yesterday again I read in Sunday Times something that I was going to mention now. This country needs energy for a sustainable growth, and to achieve 0%, we need to grow by about 0.8% or up to 1% to achieve 0% growth in this country. Crude oil, that was covered here, I'm not going to talk about achieve, partially achieve, I really don't know where that comes from. What I mentioned now is, what I want to mention that comes from the sun happened yesterday is the coal issue, that ESCOM paid for coal that they cannot even use. ESCOM has been awarded by NERPA, and that's also not mentioned, the thing that ESCOM's payback all his money, for millions of tons of coal that they cannot be burned because of ESCOM incompetence, that their plants are not running yet, and they paid for this coal, and it's not even delivered. The energy intensive users group calculated that ESCOM should have saved 11.4 trillion trillion tons of coal alone, all because of the wrong management decisions. ESCOM also, the debt collection is completely inefficient. Municipality pay does not pay ESCOM, and they are on billions, and ESCOM just does not see. I actually, a few hours, Dainfen is one of the most polluted areas in Johannesburg. There's a guy that I know that just refused. He just refused the coal, so he said he's not paying for electricity. This happens all over in local government, that people are not paying, and ESCOM's efficiency to collect their debt is absolutely a disgrace. And this was actually bounded by a mandate to allow revenue only on efficient organizations that it needs. ESCOM hasn't made that requirement. Just the underspend of 148 million rand, overspending of the member next to me mentioned that. I'm not going to get into that. And the bad management again. Crude oil was also covered. We really need, and I've underlined the minister, our minister needs to respond to Bob. We've got a corporate minister in NB, and I really don't understand the state or government to have ESCOM in public enterprise. Thank you, Chief.
Thank you, Chief. Listen, I have accepted your positive opinion, Chief, for raising your hand on my behalf. You know, Chief, listen, when you listen to this report, you can think our civil servants do not take our country or our people seriously. What I've listened to today is people who have developed an intrigue language. I think we need to buy them a dictionary. But a failure is a failure. I mean, partial achieve is an academic exercise. And assembly has the effect that we are seeing tragic. So they come with good image. What I don't understand is that is this good South African aware that they are failure to achieve this target through the effect of our people in general. If I agree with the fact that we need to develop tea, I'm even blaming them that we are actually gaining weight together because we just come in. Then I'm saying if we continue to listen to this report, because when we get the same is that we can't have people who are always in their boardrooms, develop strategies on how to life us. And in the process, we as members of parliament and politicians in general, we get banned when we go to communities, while bureaucrats are just getting salaries to life. You must stop this in this way, especially achieved and so on. You must just write the same. So that we know where we are and what we know. They are simply for taking a chance. I think I agree. The only communication, the discrimination, we really need to do something about this. And make sure that we achieve targets that we have. Agreed to achieve so that in the future when we have a record that we can be proud of. And I am telling you, this term is coming to an end, and then we are getting the same record every year, even every hour. I just wish it be a power, Chairperson, just to fire people right in this committee. I would have fired many by now. So, Chairperson, this report is unacceptable. Some of my colleagues and the NSF, it's unacceptable. We just need to make sure that people are taking parliament here. Or in the future, when they come here in Cape Town, we must direct them to see and check where there is no difference. They will understand why it's important for them to make us out there and make sure that these budgets are spent in making sure that our people do get better lives.
Our legacy report for this parliament, not only so we can, but so what is some groundbreaking policy that has come to parliament that has been passed? What bills? Not even one is in place. Now, at the rate at which we are going, parliament without having. Okay. Minister.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, if I were members of this committee, I would have started with the Department of Energy report of the Portfolio Committee on Energy on the Budget Group. 26, dated 3rd of May 2016, at around the point. 3 months later, we gave us 23 heard that those were I'm not even going to go to your observations and your findings. Now, if we look at the observations and findings, because on page 10 of your report, we think of ESCOP's performance impacting on the effectiveness and performance of the Department of Energy. We speak of transmission and distribution lines and the functioning of the grid. Acceleration of conversion of gas to power. The allocation related to the Central Energy Fund, theft, certain projects which we shall. Your, all your expenses, I think, or whatever. The expertise of the IPP office, the Education Regulation Amendment Act, the National Regulator Amendment Bill, here, the Gas Amendment Bill, the NPRCA, biofuel. Concern was raised about the slow pace of the National Solar Wind Data Program. I'm going to go through this in detail, Honorable Members, because there has to be consequence management. Consequence management, because we have appointed officials, and as a politician, if I have to take responsibility for the there has to be consequence management. You gave me 23 thoughts for your recommendation. The first one was the optimal performance of the department. Again, the nuclear infrastructure, coming back 3 months later, you're asking for a report again on nuclear procurement. Updating the department, there's a portfolio committee regularly on the nuclear procurement. The scale and pace of the nuclear procurement was supposed to be presented to you. The integrated energy plan. The integrated resource plan, the gas utilization master plan, SANEDI, shareholder compact was supposed to be signed for the SOE, and has been in place in the next 6 months as we presented to the PCE thereafter. Test the detail of the turnaround strategy. A robust oversight and continuously updated committee on the performance of the entities. 11. Ensure that the strategic plan of the entities are aligned to the objectives of the DOE. We have to update the portfolio committee on the implementation of the Cleaner Fuels 2 specification. The hiring off of the entities of theft and the implications thereof. The update on development of the NPRCA, the end state of electricity, how to let them all so that we can sit down and say, what are these targets we're talking about? NERSA, public hearing, being more accessible to ordinary citizens. Petroleum sector, transformation of the petroleum sector, we come back here, we tell us that we have understated on the transmission, the rollout of the National Electrification Program, the build of a new refinery, petroleum refinery, a report on Grand Inger, working with the municipalities, solar water heater rollout plan, the National Radio Waste Disposal Institute, the issues are addressed. We have appointed officials, they are not acting, they are appointed, I am one acting committee. We were given a specific mandate, we know we have to implement those mandates. If we do not have conflict management, we will be sitting here. We can respond, I can go through all the questions you have asked. Honorable Mambalala, the advisory council, we, if you have been imploring us to use their capacity because we need to do not have the capacity. I am again at the point where I said we have the 21 recommendations. What are the efficiency and effectiveness on the project? Why are we unable to deliver? Why do we present the same report and listen to the same recommendation? And why are we understanding? We need answers. And these, if we are trying to sound like a stuck record, then Chairperson, what are the consequences for this? Targets shall not make performance solid. And when those consequence management, when the consequence management happens, it should not be personal. We should be saying, this is a consequence. Thank you, Chief. Thanks. And honorable members.
I think we may have to return to that ourselves for now. Now the minister is reminding us of very important recommendations we need. And the recommendation that matters to the economy. So let's get the responses and I think we must present to these people how we deal with the recommendations that we have made in the past, especially on the B issues. Almost on every substructure, we made some key recommendations of what needs to be done. So perhaps we could return that's one way of dealing with all of those. But for the purposes of this process now, can you get the responses and then I will follow up questions?
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Minister, Petitioners, and Honorable Members. And thank you, Chair, for the constructive criticism that has been put forward by different members in terms of our report today. But I would like, Chair, that we maybe try and deal with some of the issues that have been raised because the report sometimes does not go into the detail that is expected. And I think some of those will also require some full presentation of specific areas because we don't provide specific detail on those. One of those, for example, is youth approval because it's both linked into the parliament and is also in the indicator. So there are two processes running in parallel in terms of accountability. But I would like that share some of those items because we have not been caught by this committee to present that we avail ourselves to some reason. The Yoga program is a classic example in terms of development of where we are and what engagements we've had, what we've done since we reported to this committee in the previous meetings. And I think that will require more time. And there are also other terms, Chair, that one must admit that the setting of targets does require review. And I did indicate that in one of the meetings that the way targets are set, in most instances, we have a subject that is not very scientific. And at times,
beyond being scientific, the terms were set by the experts in our view are the normal business of the day that in any event as government officials should be doing. Because of some of those targets in the manner in which the system of targeting structures relate to day-to-day operations, like how many messages you are sending. You can't set a target of achievability. That's not a target for the year. We have agreed that we need to review our target. But Chair, without being defensive, there is also a process of reviewing targets. For example, the target was set for ourselves for this financial year, as the minister has made reference, how can I be reduced? Because there's a new prioritization process as we speak, as a veteran in the last year in the quarter, which falls upon all departments to review their targets because there are more pressing issues that have been made. And a similar exercise also has been happening. So I'm saying maybe we need more time to provide a detailed information where we've deviated from target to give a particular context to it without justifying why we have not met those targets. But the most important point of departure and acceptance is to make sure that our target setting is much more effective and is much more scientific. We don't just throw numbers for the sake of throwing numbers, and at the end of the day we're found wanting where we deliver on those targets. So we accept that, and we've been trying in this financial year to make sure that the targets that we set are actually of correct nature. So that when it's time for our ability, as the executive of this department, we are not found wanting. So we accept that target setting for the department has not been very scientific. But we would like to give in specific areas full presentations on why there's been certain deviations. As I'm saying, as we speak, the targets we set for ourselves for this year, I can tell you before we account that how can I change something because there's a very different process. Our department has been affected by certain cuts that have been made, and which means we must go back and review targets according to the service. And that is a decision that the minister has taken, and we can't deviate from that. It's basically a directive by again, Chair, on IPP, maybe we can make some reference to the special question that you have asked. The issue of strike, Makubra will give you a detailed definition of what exactly means the strike, how the department was engaged, what interventions during the strike were made as a department to give you that information in this meeting, and Makubra will provide that because that matter was discussed in my executive committee. Window 3.4, advertising was not seen to performing on window 3 in terms of our target, we only will provide a detailed explanation. Again, this is a problem that is run by IPP, but we'll provide a perspective as to why do we go to 4.5 once we are struggling with the percentage performance and it has been reflected. There is a perspective that should be submitted to that. Chair, I don't want to challenge the manner in which we present our reports in terms of the standard practice and justify the language used. I think it's the way that all departments report. It's not the only government in this government that reports in this fashion, and this is the standard format that you are using, and if it needs to be changed, tomorrow we'll change it. But how we respond on target is the way that government has set a particular format that all departments of government follow. It's unfortunate that maybe some of us may not be happy with it, including ourselves, but it's a standard practice. I can't be asked as an accounting officer to say this is how you should report on whatever report. And I come with my own version without approval of instructions of the local government. I will be out of order and I will have to be disciplined for that. So I want to apologize that maybe if the language that is being used is unpalatable to some of the members, it's equally beyond our control. A classic example will be the DG's office, for example, because we have been asked to submit four reports which are leading to the outcomes of government. But the fact of the matter that we delayed in submitting those reports during the time moderation, we have submitted two reports instead of four. And so it doesn't mean that you have not achieved that target, but you have not achieved it in the report. So we have not achieved the target, but there is work that has been done, there is a process that has been placed, there is moderation that has been done. And so it's not like it's a real achievement on the target. So it's not fully achieved. Only two reports were submitted. The other two reports were submitted, Chairperson, to achieve the target, but not on time. So I can't come to Parliament and lie and say during the point of moderating and asserting our targets at this time, therefore we have submitted four, when we know for a fact that two were submitted on time,
because of our long internal process again, which could have been caused by our own internal operational inefficiency, which I can admit. But the fact is we have not met that target. In my own office, we have managed to do two reports. The two were submitted eventually, which make us have achieved that target. But the fact is that the time that we have agreed to do that, we have not achieved that. And I can't come here and say that if we have met that target on time, the only case not been done. Again, Chair, now, if I have to explain the target, I don't want to say in my office, I did not have this resource, I did not have a chief director in charge of this federal area, and the director is a vacant. I don't think we always intend to get into the detail of operationalism and explaining why the two reports are not submitted, which DDG did not sign on time, or who did not do that. But we do have consequences in the system, but if you have not done this, you can be disciplined on time. So I'm just saying, these are the processes when you do targets that you get engulfed in. And when you report here, even if you have met the target eventually, I'm saying we have, but the fact of the matter, at the time we are supposed to have concluded on certain targets. And again, I can also say the targets I set for myself. I've inherited those targets. I can't review them once they're approved by the government. Mine is to manage them. If I need to review them, we can only do it in the next financial year, which we are currently doing. So those are some of the challenges. In some of these, Chair, I'm not running from the fact that are caused by internal operational inefficiencies that do exist in our system, including our department as well. So I'm just making my saying that it's partially achieved. It's a simple explanation that one can give it. Because as of 4 targets on time of assessment, only 2 are was achieved, the other 2 were submitted beyond the target time that was agreed upon. That's the only explanation I can give. And that's how the standard performance for reporting is set, Chair. But as I'm saying, if we are called, we can call us on a 2-day full session. We can then give details of each and every target that we have not been able to achieve on time. And I'm also saying some of those targets I will be also open to telling you that this particular target was not properly set in terms of time, and the money for this target was not available to be performed, or the targets, some of them are not even linked to the department only. You've got other related entities that you work with that have a responsibility on the packages. And one of them, as the minister has indicated and the chairperson, is ECOM. While ECOM is not our direct responsibility as the Department of Energy, but the targets that we set in our work are directly linked. In fact, I would say 60% of them are linked into ECOM. So how ECOM performs, how they meet their targets, how they make it do their maintenance progress, has a direct impact on our target party. But don't have a direct control of the performance of their own work that they do. I mean, at the point that has been raised, that also needs to be removed from a policy perspective. It's a reality. So if therefore they don't perform certain targets, then you shift your targets backward, and you don't have a direct performance control of their work. At least targets which are linked to our entities, SFF and other entities, at least they have a direct control. And again, we can take full responsibility of that. Though it's indirect, but at least they account to the minister, and we have an oversight of one of the executive in the project of CEO. So there is that thing as well, that when you do, you become very unscientific in your approach, because you are relying on another entity to perform that target with you. So it's interrelated, and also at times with other departments as well. I mean, last week, we have just signed a memorandum, for example, for energy efficiency, that you want to put professional services at the CEO as a place. So I'm not going to be responsible for that target alone. I'll be also relying on the professional services department in terms of our plan of action, how we're going to perform that target. So the interrelatedness of our performance of targets at times, and I'm not justifying it, at times does cause a problem for our targeting and performance. But Chair and members, I do take full responsibility that setting of targets, it is where we must get the exercise correct. You can't get it to the end of performance. So if we start with the wrong targets, right now we have a responsibility to inform my team that all the targets we have set for this financial year, as we came to report that decision, we're going to review them. Because all departments have been affected by the reprioritization of certain functions of government responsibility. And we don't get an exercise of doing our targeting to make sure that the budget cut that you have had, the reprioritization that has happened, if we don't get it right now moving forward again, we'll come back again in the next financial year. We'll be sitting like this with a similar problem. And that is beyond our control. That's a policy decision of cabinet that we are expected to implement. But that doesn't justify the fact that certain targets that we have set for ourselves were not scientific in nature, and some of them were not eligible, and some of them are performed by other related entities that work with us in the performance of those studies as I've made that point. And Chair, I'm wondering as the accounting officer if there's particular management that we're expected to comply with in making sure that this gets done properly. I would be more than willing to be part of that particular, and I will subject myself to that exercise as well as an accounting officer of the department. I'm more than prepared to go through that exercise. But I would like, as I think, as the Chair, that we identify specific items, especially the ones that the minister raised. For some of them, we can present full presentation of what happens on where we are, what has been done to this. It will be very detailed, because I think the more we provide details to this committee, the better, and we'll be able to put certain items into proper perspective, than to simply highlight them in short. I will then ask your question that has been raised by the chairperson to Makubela, the issue of the strike. And also because petroleum falls within his area, also to deal with the issue that you have raised with regards to engine and as well, I'm surprised to say that government is not doing anything at the moment as far as I know, but in his area he'll be able to give a perspective on those issues. On nuclear fuel, Chair, I would recommend as this has been raised that you give us sufficient time to come at any moment to give you a full presentation on nuclear problem in terms of where we are, what has been happening in that. And again, I know that OMP has been working on the IEP, and if there's a need to come to give an update, a full presentation of that, we'll also be more than willing to do so. And many other issues that form part of the 23 recommendations that the committee has been working on, we will be more than willing. We'll just need time, Chair. I think for most of the stuff that we've been doing, especially since I've been in charge of the department, we need time to give perspective on where we are on those issues and where that difficulty is. Because they are, we'll be very much honest to give us some that and request for your intervention, because in some cases we need intervention. That's why, for example, on the matter of the ESCOM, I requested the minister to intervene, because it was no longer within my control to be able to make sure that certain things are done in a particular way. But another thing, the point that I'm making, Jane, in particular, is that setting of targets for me is a critical thing, and I've said that before. And if we can't get that right, we're going to find ourselves in the situation, and that's what we're trying to improve on, and I think we'll be able to achieve that. Okay.
Thank you, Chair.
I'm glad the DG actually said the things that he had said, because I told Junius to come back to them. But I also wanted to raise the issue that I think there's always an effort where the reports are also done to manage the slides, but also try and give a bit of background. But I believe from what the honorable members have been saying, it will also be useful that we give them an actual narrative. Because all those issues that we refer to, maybe we deal with them on a daily basis, and just put them there, we assume that they are here, because there are some things which actually do fall into the category of partially achieved, because maybe they are halfway. So it might be, if you don't have a proper narrative what that is about, then it looks like a cop-out. So the issue of narrative, I think, is important. Linked to that is maybe to also find a way to say, in our, whether it's quarterly or whatever, annual program, over and above the meetings that are scheduled on a weekly basis, what should the committee be receiving as a report so that they all can travel with us and check some of these things, because they seem to come at the end and then they come an issue that we're interrogating and they are 6 months and we're dealing with things that happened 6 months ago. So somewhere I think in the system, I don't know, I'm not sure if I'm getting across, but so that members can be with us, so when we deal with something that happened, then they've also been appraised of some of these things, because if you look at our committee program and you look at all the things we deal with, we don't deal with all the we don't have agendas for all the programs that we deal with within the department. Some get more attention than others for various reasons. I mean, if we look at last year, I don't know how many meetings we had on HOSA, on staff, and yet if you look at our biggest budget item, electrification, we've never had a discussion on electrification itself. So I think those 2 days will help us as well, help us to be able to meet your expectations and make sure that you are also informed about some of these things that we do, because there is a lot of information, how we package it, and make sure that members can interrogate it and actually guide us on some of those things. I think that, for me, is part of the issue. Then there's also the issue, of course, of ESCOM, which is also under the whole issue of the review of state-owned entities. And I think part of the challenge for me is that we speak about ESCOM here, and we can bring ESCOM here, but actually the people we're supposed to engage with is not ESCOM, it's the Department of Public Enterprises, to whom ESCOM reports. So there's also sometimes that we create the monster ourselves, because now we're engaging ESCOM, as if they make the policy and yet they report to a department. So we need to, and I think Minister can speak to that, because I know she has been engaging as well with her counterpart, the Minister of Public Enterprises, so that we clarify these issues in terms of what ESCOM should be saying at the public level as an entity and not getting into a policy space.
I'm not saying what should be right now, I'm starting to be fast enough from one session to the next this evening, so that we can try and answer all questions. We can see the question.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Minister, Deputy Minister, Honorable Members, DD. On the issue of the strike, firstly I want to say that this is the petroleum space. Once you get to a situation like that, like what we face, you then get into a national security situation. And basically that's how we approach all those issues. While we try and separate the labor related matter, because workers have a right to strike. But at the same time, the institutions or the facilities where they work are national people. And as such, the approach that we take when we deal with the act of intimidation is that seeks to protect the national system. So what happened in terms of the strike is that I will say this way, a perfect, what I can refer to as a perfect storm. Because what had happened is that the dispute was declared Thursday before the election. Secondly, on that Wednesday, we were going to have a 1 rand decrease in the price of petrol. And then thirdly, you had the election itself. So the members of SAT had to be pulled to a voting station, had to be deployed there. So the number of police that would have been available to be able to respond to acts of violence and intimidation was reduced because of that. What then happened is that the minister and the DG intervened. The DG wrote to the acting commissioner to try and ensure that the acts of violence are dealt with in the normal way that the police would be back to deal with. And the approach then that was taken was that the trucks, the tankers would be escorted for, you know, a certain distance from the facility and so on. What we then said, Shepherdson, was that there were certain areas that were targeted. And the key among those targets was Waterloo in Swansea. But the particular target was targeted by the workers, the strikers themselves. And that what then happened there is that they came to them. It then became difficult to move fuel in and out of work. And that was the reality. And hence the, you know, the greatest impact of that strike was in that incident. Swanya actually had to be supplied from as far as possible. And that was the reality of the situation. I believe that the members of subsidies, that there was no excessive or any kind of use of excessive force or any reported incident, that they were able to move people where it brought in the truck out of the way and you know, trucks were able to move. However, it then moves to a stage where workers themselves who work in the facility were, you know, intimidated in their own work, I mean homes and families and so on. So it then becomes very difficult to manage something like that. So there was an intervention, and I believe that we worked quite well with the security establishment to make sure that at the very least, you know, the key points are protected, and that we try as much as possible to move the fuel out of the depots. What we're doing now, we're doing an after-event review within the department to then say, what does this mean going forward? And we, unfortunately, are not going to be in a position to indicate all of the things that we think we should do because of, you know, what I had indicated, it's linked to national security. So what we are also looking at now is the fact that, and this is beyond us, but as part of our analysis, we are looking at that, is that the settlement is very close to what was at dispute in the first place. And that is, I guess, a matter that would need to be analyzed elsewhere. That what was the source of dispute ended up being the settlement. But that's a matter for I guess, some other analysis to be done there. We are not out of the woods yet because there are other negotiations ongoing between NUMSA and the petrol attendants, you know, as well as the retail. that is ongoing. We don't think we're out of the woods yet, but we can see how we, you know, we'll watch the negotiations and we'll then be in a position to respond accordingly, whatever happens. I believe that we will be meeting with both parties during the course of this week. On the issue of Chevron, categorically, there is no bid by the state to Bashar. We are of the view, and the EG has indicated this publicly, and the minister, that those who submitted a bid did so without a mandate. There was never any mandate set to that effect. The agency, I think the bid at PetroSA to acquire the asset of Engen, I think the well funds that were expended there, but they were part of what we call business development. One, there was no requirement for any non-refundable deposit or anything like that. So all the funds that were expended by the entity were basically the ones that any institution that wishes to acquire assets will go through. So paying of basically transactional advisors and so on. So those are the costs that were incurred by the treasury, and I guess those ones, they would be best placed to respond to. Chair, I hope I can have covered. Now, I do want to conclude that by saying that we may look calm, but we're peddling constantly at the department. Just to give an example, Chair, we have 9 inspectors covering the whole country. And that is the NM Devon complaint. They are always on the road. They do their inspection and so on. But there is a lot of peddling in the department under the surface, Chair. Perhaps it may not be obvious, but I'll leave it there, Chair.
Thank you.
Okay. This is the and you look and everything looks calm. So underneath this collective chair, that you peddle quite a lot. And it's not the peddling of the other kind, but that's why there's a lot of action. And also there's a lot of conversation of our state to certain and honorable members.
and the others are in fact the construction source. The way that this works is that the actual risk of construction is for the IPP to take. So effectively what it means is that we count from the time that financial close has happened. Because when financial close has happened, we know that the project is actually going to proceed. And when that financial close date is determined, it's usually around 2 years when they reach a point that you generate into the grid. And that is why you have this lag. So all IPPs provide quarterly reports after financial close, and you will see between the various windows a 2 year delay between the project that closed in this next 3 years, project that closed this year and project that closed the following year. It is exaggerated by the construction period in which of about 3 years. And it looks like it's going slowly. But actually the construction starts very slowly and then it ramps up according to the project. So it doesn't really, it is not cause for concern that the projects in the previous window are only running at 5%, and we are proceeding with the next one. Basically, the success is when we reach financial close for a particular window. So just to also indicate that there has been maybe three projects that have been delayed, above the colleague, the 92 projects, 98 projects out there, only two projects have not reached a construction and generation. So it's not something that they particularly concerned us that if you like over this rush to go to the next window where the previous one is not being settled. So I think that's the way to try and explain it. So I think just in terms of the other comments that comes out of the comments, and I think we take them chart. I think there's a lot of discussion around the way that it was important. But just to indicate that, for example, the annual performance plan that we put in place requires a quarterly reporting cycle. So every quarter we are supposed to indicate what the movement has been in relation to the previous cycles in respect of the project. But what happens, unfortunately, in some instances, the project cycles are longer. So you don't see much movement in infrastructure projects in 3 years. So it would then result in a situation where quarter two looks really similar to what we have happened in quarter one and so on. So let me give an example around this particular foundation here. Right. And I think the point was raised earlier on what we say, there is a target. If one looks at the comments there, we always indicate what the target is made of today. There is the SMART principle and the even audit finding that we have actually undertaken to solve that, which is that we report in relation to those things that we have control over. So for example, make legislation, in terms of the law, we have to go out through a NEDLAC process after cabinet approval. It has to go back to cabinet, and only once it is set by cabinet may it enter into the parliamentary process. So it appears as if there are a lot of things that are happening, but I think generally it's a discussion that we need to just understand. So that it's not like, I think as Honorable Mandela has outlined, is that yes, there is a lot of things happening with the various bills, but it is not in the parliamentary process. If they look, if we bring a chance for an update, then you might be able to understand where it is in relation to management, the public consultation process, cabinet, and so on. But I think the point that's been raised about the fact that it's not first year. And then lastly, just in terms of the other issues that have been raised, the integrated resource plan, the gas, the biogas strategy, and the integrated energy plan. It's a danger that those things are interdependent, and when we do the presentation, we will see how much progress we have made. then maybe just a general comment here is that there was a point that was made, and I think DG did allude to it as well, that I think there is a lot of dedication to try and align with the expectations. There is a capacity issue here that I think we would be to say that we did not, you know, there is a serious capacity issue in relation with the expectations, you know, within the space and what they. So we come back here and time it comes across as we not respond to the
there was a program that was raised for you, but basically mom was not to be willing to defend this salary. So, I can attend to it, but of course it might provide you unless you agree and think of the presentation and where it has been raised. Of course it is from that perspective that it will achieve based on what has been done since the student to be able to present it. If you want that program to be amongst the projects on us to comprehend the history with that to be
you have given a script like me in English. Wanted to answer the questions that you have raised by proposing what they proposed here, but they have not answered the questions which you have asked. Not at all. And now which also I think DJ Magito active diploma said in the for accommodation in call for the one like what I can be in Cape Town so that they are reflected in the country on the program and one of the two they are shaped here in Cape Town. Shay, on a first note, we'll raise many issues here and they are not of promise. Be that as it may, one example.
in writing. We will find a process now with the honorable members to give you a comprehensive outline, but it will be largely along the lines of the recommendations we made to the original first vote, an outline of what we plan to deal with on the 14th and 15th. And it will go in the big process. You know, here we progress state on the entities, education program, and so on. So we are applying what we require, so we can then go through this. Because indeed, the format of the report and the format of the our meeting has played an impediment to the thorough discussion on the issues, because we're responding to the specific things you've asked. And honorable members have pressing issues to which they pose questions, which are not part of the things you said the report on. So the 2 days will give us an opportunity to run through all the problems. So I think that we should close at this point the honorable members,
a career expo can be defined as a city outreach program. A career expo is a community outreach program or event. Now, those are the things that you need to connect to in your reporting. Now, I might sit here and say that your obligation is also of academic. If I'm not who you are, learn as being, that you must accept. But probably he was just being sarcastic. I say is academic language. The reality of the matter is that once under the office of the DG, there's zero achieved on the report. When you say there are things that you have done, it should be partially achieved. It can't be zero. It's written down in black and white on the report. I have noted it. Some way, target one, achieved zero, or achieved one. You can't say achieved zero. Problematic. And on explanation, you are saying ABCD has been done. Now, your reporting day can't be zero achieved. It must be partially achieved. It's there, it's all the same. You presented it. Yes. If there were constraints along the implementation of the target, but you have arrived at 1, 2, 3, 4, must be partial achievement. Once there's zero achievement under the office of the DG, I have a problem with that. I think there's a member of this one. Here is an explanation of what you have done and so on and so forth. Now, sometimes we need not to be defensive about things that we do. Public awarenesses in our state, they are defined as invisible. That's a public awareness. Now, you can't have a public awareness defined as a career expo. It can't be. Even other children will never accept that. The matter we've got standards, ourselves will read with the rules. We will read your report in our spare time when we are for probably bored. Or want to take a break from our studies, we read the report of the department. Even if the presentation arrives on a Monday, when we're supposed to have a meeting on a Tuesday, we do read the report. No matter how late we receive them, we do read. Now, you, as an accounting officer, you don't only account for money. You account even for the errors that are written by the people who are responsible. It impacts on your credibility as well. Now you are taking personal this issue of property. Kindly about trainers only in the standards and the norms that are they put in place for you to follow. You know, one day we were puzzled by our friend when our friend was the deputy minister fired a staff member based on a letter that the person wrote to a VC. We're sitting, now a bottle of whiskey, and he tells us, and we're like, what? Only an error. This has an impact on my credibility as a deputy minister, meaning that I did not provoke. You know? So you want to take this thing personally as an account office. And one that is to chair, which I want to raise, so that when they come back with the DG, they respond. You have not done anything on a denitrification of nuclear. I know Mamila came here later when we have raised this in 2015 or in 2014 already. But you are going to suffer the consequences because you are the accounting officer now. You inherit everything once you get into a position. You inherit everything. You must account for everything. You have a communication section in your department, which died a natural death in 1912. What have you done to ensure that there's transformation? Because once there's that kind of a problem, meaning that transformation is paramount. Communications department is the one that should run the messaging of the department itself. You come here, you report all the good stories about your department. That means the minister went to engage with this woman there and so on and so forth. Who knows that? Only you. Our side, we have not read about it on the newspapers. We have not seen these programs on national television. What does that tell you about your communication section? We can't have a problem on demystification of nuclear when there's a section called communication in your department. It's either you resuscitate or you reestablish. Now, your decisiveness as an accounting officer on this particular matter as we move forward with the nuclear field program is paramount. The perception out there, ourselves as politicians, we feel that nuclear at the helm of a black government should not happen. That's the perception out there. Because nuclear has become a monster. Why we have Quebec here for 50 years? It's because of lack of communication. That's why there is that perception. Communication is supposed to seem doctoring every aspect of the programs of the Department of Energy. Until that happens, you will have problems more than what. Now, when you come back on your reporting, you must report as to what have you done with this particular section. We visited the department on our first oversight. We raised this problem on communication. You were not there. But we have been raising this issue time and time again, but someone to listen to the committee. Probably chair is right to say, now we must touch her. The thing that the minister left before we could conclude, because I wanted to ask him, what does she want to do with this action? Communication of the department, because it died in natural death. So, those are the issues. And on the issue of ESCOM and policy, I think that what we can raise as a committee at the end is that we can't have ESCOM reporting to Department of Public Enterprises when ESCOM is supposed to be here. If it's a policy issue which is supposed to be taken to a policy conference of the ruling party, that's a debate for another day. But if the cabinet has the power to take a decision on this particular element, it must be implemented. So if the minister is not here, you can't have ESCOM that has 50% impact. 50% impact on the planning, targeting, and performance of the department reporting elsewhere. It can't happen. It's wrong. It's not supposed to be like that. by the rules. So that's why we are raising the committee. It's either the cabinet takes a decision that begins to say ECOM as an entity must be under this department, or take it elsewhere if the cabinet can't take that decision. But it's something that needs to happen, to be happening as a matter of agency, if cabinet has the power to do that. I know that entities now are working direct to the president. Probably as a committee, I was to assure you, we must go and state our case at that level, where the entities will be responding. Because we've been raising this issue of ESCOM, raising it every time, even if we go to public meetings, you will be asked about ESCOM when you are in any portfolio and you have no answers. Now it's high time that we move with this proposal and run with it, that the cabinet and the presidency must remove this entity from public enterprises and bring it here, Department of Energy. Because we can't talk nuclear and Quebec from elsewhere, public enterprises. And yet, in this department, we are busy talking about the nuclear service program. The contradiction, and contradiction will persist, and there will impact on the target performance of the Department of Energy as we move forward. It's not a policy issue. Bigger than that. So that's what I wanted to raise.
Okay. No. I'm quite happy. One of the men members still want to speak, so we can stay longer. I'm happy to address. So it's not just a nuclear and cooler, it's a education program, the renewable energy program, and research facility, IPPs. Everything you look at. So I see the Deputy Minister agrees that it must come here. I thought it was coming, in fact, some time ago. I don't know what happened.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I think we must just agree that we got nothing today. We are left frustrated. This, through you, Honorable Chairperson, she will never happen again. Because it causes a lot to expect. So, will never have an idea. And the more you listen to the director general, I'm happy when he was responding, you could see that he has taken up the bait. We were now seeing inside that there are internal issues. I'm even tempted to ask whether he's even on board or not. Because from his response, you could see that there are issues they are citing inside that we need to know. Because he even spoke about inherited, they are saying he inherited. That he can't change him, I just continue with that intention. I didn't even know that he's a standard to peddle in the department. There is some peddling. And then when you analyze the ways, is that we are asking a report for people who are hearing some internal issues they're dealing with themselves. This department is chaos. Honorable Chair. So I hope in the coming 2 days we'll have a clear vision of which, why are they employed in that department. I think we are ourselves to blame. We're very merciful too. We were very sympathetic. I agree we must change. If it means we must come with gloves in this committee, we must buy them. We can't do this anymore. And Deputy Minister, I was thinking this report was an actual narrative. I didn't think it was an imagined one. So I'm here now, we are going to have the actual narrative. Even though it's not written in details, when they speak, they should be able to give us the actual narrative. So when we report to our constituents, we report the actual narrative, not the imagined one, or the ambiguous one. So I really support the 2 days. I wish in the future, if we have such into the course, people must buy their own shape using their own salary. But we cannot have funds used for people to come in just within the Bible, thinking that we say hallelujah, hallelujah.
Sorry, just a point of order. Can we pay for you, for your discretion, can we put a time limit maybe on that? Because it's got the time for amendment of comments.
Okay.
Yes, Chairperson. I think it's a sign of our frustration that we have to all the time come back to ask the same questions and we're not getting the answers. And I think that the Department of Energy, you know, if you talk about the IPPs and the APPs, the PTAs, then the department should know about it. And if some falls in Eskom, they should get to know about it or bring the responsible person together to give us answers. The question about the cost and the, or loss to the taxpayer about the engine deal, I mean, it's very important that that we get those answers and then to somebody just to say that we should ask Petro SA about it. We must know about it and then we... Yes, and we need those answers because you are the county officers. You should know what it costs and not just tell us to get the answers from Petro SA. We must get it from you. You are the county people. And then, you know, if you say that the Chevron deal, the people acted without outside of the mandate, well, that's all true about, but you don't say what the consequences was for those people acting without their mandate. I mean, it can't be that tomorrow somebody does that and we just wake up and say, oh, sorry, you shouldn't do it again. Sorry, you shouldn't do it again. You should fire them out. You want to hear about it? Thank you, Chief. I don't know what Speaker Nathan was saying again about responsibilities on the whole department, and I agree with it. And, you know, with a stock compensation of nearly 300 million rand and admin of nearly 300 million rand, it's over half a billion rand. I really think the situation could have been better. The target that was promised, you know, 250,000 households to be connected to the grid, and there was only 50,000 connected to the grid. We've got so many media people here, and this is more directly the poor and vulnerable that get affected by all this. But today we'll discuss it on the list, as you said. Thank you.
Thanks, honorable members, and I think your proposal that we do give the answers in writing is what we'll do. But I think it's also important that we look at some of these things because when you look, for instance, at that target, that was an annual target and we're using what I need to do. So it's some of those things that also create some of these issues. And also the fact that honorable members are interested in some of the details which are not necessarily part of what this report was about. So we are also, it's a whole lot of things that are complicated. But I'm hoping the workshop is also going to assist us today with some of those, because we need to say, for instance, that these reports are not helpful, because we always seem to discuss things that are much broader and more strategic around it. So we really do need to find a mechanism where we can do these things. Otherwise, it becomes frustrating for yourself, but it also becomes frustrating for us because we come prepared for one and we deal with the other issue. So thank you, Chair.
Okay. Thanks, Honourable Members.